Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good morning, Valley Bible Fellowship. How are you? Come on, I think you all love Jesus here. What about you? Come on. Hey, well, thank you for having me here. It's an honor. Pastor Ron asked me Tuesday if I would like to come out here, and I just want to tell you, I've been praying for you all this week, me and my whole family, that God is going to do something amazing today. Amen? Well, hey, my name is Pastor Russell. I'm one of the campus pastors in Las Vegas. Your church is like 6 or 7 times the size of ours. So the first service I got up here, I was just blown away with how many people are here, and It's an honor to be here with you, and it's an honor to be a part of what God is doing in this church. Amen? Well, hey, I also want to welcome those online who are tuning in. I don't have a lot to say. I hope Jesus has everything to say through me today, okay? So before we start, I want to open up in prayer, if you'll bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you for what you did in the first service, Lord. Lord, I believe you're going to do a double portion in this service, God. Father, I pray that, Lord, first of all, I want to take authority over every spirit of distraction, Lord, so that the Holy Spirit can speak to everybody that needs to hear what you're going to say, because I'm just the messenger, Lord. Anoint the words that are going to come out of my mouth, Lord, and anoint the ears and the hearts to receive what you're going to say, and all God's people can say, amen, amen. Well, the title of my message is Drawing Near. Now, in James 4:8, it says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. The invitation's for you to draw near first, though. I always kind of visualize it like when I was watching my children starting to walk, I'd be like, come on, come to daddy. And they'd, right? Well, I would draw near to them when they were coming to me. I picture that's how our Heavenly Father is when we're drawing near to him. This morning, I want to talk to you about how we draw near to God in our circumstances. We're going to hear some stories this morning out of the Bible about people in the midst of their circumstances who drew near to God by crying out to him. The first story that we're going to hear is in the book of Mark chapter 4, and this is when Jesus tells the disciples, we're going to go to the other side. You know, God has given you a promise, he's taking you somewhere. And when he makes you a promise, he ain't going to go back on it. So what they do is they decide they're going to leave in the evening time because in the daytime, the waves would be a little bit higher, like 15, sometimes 20 feet high. So they thought, okay, we'll go in the evening time. It'll be a smooth sail. We always think it's going to be smooth, right? But how many people know you have some opposition in your life and sometimes that opposition looks like storms? Well, they get in the boat and as they're going, they hit the storms and I just see the apostles like the Three Stooges just running around. What are we gonna do? This guy's sleeping, he doesn't care. Jesus, do you care? How many people feel like Jesus is sleeping right now? Can I tell you he's in your boat though? See, when they cried out in desperation, they said, Lord, save us. He woke up. And he spoke to the circumstances in their lives that was the storm. And he said, peace, be still. Jesus is going to speak to some of your circumstances this morning. Especially when you cry out to him and he's going to say, peace, be still. See, when Jesus told them that they were going to get to the other side, it's because he's God. And we know that God can't lie, right? When God says he's going to do something, he does it. I love how the fact that they didn't even cry out in faith, because Jesus ends up rebuking them. You have little faith. Like, I'm in the boat with you. You think I'm going to let your boat go down? So the disciples cry out in a desperation cry, and I love that because Jesus answered them. They didn't even cry out in faith. It was desperation. I love Romans 10:13 that says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You've ever done that? Just call out in the name of Jesus like we were just singing? Come on. He knows his name. When you call his name, he comes to that call. Amen? We're going to see how God comes to the call of King Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And he's told some bad news as we read in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1. It says, in those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you're going to die and you will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, go tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend it. In the previous chapter, the Assyrian king is threatening Hezekiah. Every time I say this king's name, I feel like going to Tony Roma's. This king's name was Sennacherib. Name your kids Sennacherib, and they probably won't like you. But he says, hey, you know what, Hezekiah? All the other gods of all the other kingdoms never protected them against me, and your God won't either. Not only does God protect Judah, he sends one angel to kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. And he heals Hezekiah. You know why? Because Hezekiah not just prayed, but he cried out with tears. You know what I call tears? It's called liquid prayer, church. See, it's when your prayers go beyond words and you don't know how to tell God what you're feeling, so it comes out in your tears. I think those are some of the most powerful prayers that we can pray as a church, is when we're crying out in tears. Look how important our tears are in Psalms 56:8. You keep track of all my sorrows and you've collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Wow. Every tear that we've ever cried, God has a record of it. My wife, she's a Latina princess. I married a Latina princess. Yeah. And yes, amen. And I remember when our kids were little, she'd pick them up and she taught me how to do it. And I say, sana, sana. Sana, sana, right? I don't know how the rest goes, but it's a sana, sana, right? And our kids would be like, it was a sana, sana, and then they feel good. They felt comforted. Can I tell you, that's what God's doing. When you're crying, he's going, sana, sana. It's okay. Sana, sana. He's your heavenly father, right? See, what I'm saying is God won't waste your pain, church. He'll take your pain and he'll turn it into praise. He'll take your pain and turn it into praise. I want to give you an example. Back in like early 2000s, before I even was on staff as a pastor, and I was just attending Valley Vegas in Las Vegas. It was probably about 2006, 2005, around there. I had an auto detail business. So I was in this really rich part of town detailing this guy's car. And he says, hey, there's this little girl. She's 5 years old. And she was diagnosed with inoperable brain tumor. And they're trying to do all this stuff, and the medical bills are so outrageous. They're doing a silent auction. Do you know any people that would like to come to it? And I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, ask if you can go pray for her. I said, what? He said, ask if you can go pray for us. I said, hey, can you ask the parents if I can go pray for this little girl? And he goes, what are you, a priest? I said, no. And he says, what do you mean pray? I said, I'm going to pray she gets healed. What, are you going to heal her? And I said, no, I know the one who can. His name is Jesus. And yeah, amen. And so I said, Lord, I don't know if that was you, but I'm just being obedient. So I'm thinking, okay, he's probably never going to call. He calls me back 5 o'clock later on that evening and says, she said, come on over and pray for her daughter. And I'm like, oh boy. What did you just get yourself into, Russell? So I go to the church that night. It was a Wednesday night. Pastor Ron was teaching out there. I said, Pastor Ron, you got to pray. You got to pray for me. And he said, well, what's going on? I said, this little girl has an inoperable brain tumor. And I told the guy that's friends with the mom, I go pray for her. I don't know what to do, Pastor Ron. How many people know Pastor Ron's not into long prayers? He said, come here, Russ. He said, God, I pray that you show up and you give him the words to say and the prayer to pray. You're going to be fine, Russ. And I'm like, wow, thanks a lot, Pastor Ron. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. I have a picture of little Brooke I'd like to show you, little princess. So I go over there and I see her mom. But let me back up. Before I go over there, how many people know what Bible roulette is? Pastor Ron always talks about it. So open up the word, put your finger down there. Just hope that it doesn't land on Mark 14:52 where it says he fled naked. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. But here's the scripture that my finger landed on, and it was John 11:4. And when he heard that Lazarus was sick, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." I said, "Lord, I'm going to give that word. That's your word, not mine. I'm going to give it to her." I walk up and her mom goes, "Are you going to heal my daughter?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not. I'm going to pray that Jesus will heal your daughter." She goes, "Well, this Jesus thing is really, really new to me. I don't care who heals my daughter. I just want her healed." And I'm going, God, how are you going to heal her daughter? She doesn't even have faith. You know what the Lord told me? You knock it off right now. I sent you over here for a reason, Russell. Not so that you could judge her. This woman is desperate. She's crying out to me. You don't even realize it. That's why I'm sending you over here, because you listen to me. So I walk in there, and just like Allie and the band, they were ushering in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I put on a CD, and she ends up, going, "What are you doing?" I said, "I want to invite the Holy Spirit because I don't want to go ahead of him." How many people know what I'm talking about? I can't do anything, but with the Holy Spirit, I can do all things. So all of a sudden, I knew the Holy Spirit was in the room because I could see that the presence was changing. And I looked at little Brooke and I said to the mother, "Can I pray for her?" And I put my hands on her head and she just kind of gave me that sigh. She was in a lot of pain. And I said, "Lord, as Jesus cursed the fig tree, I curse this cancer and I command it to leave her body." And I go home, and 3 weeks later, I get a phone call like 10:30 at night. I'm getting ready to go to bed, and all I hear is, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." I said, "Well, who is this?" "This is Brooke's mother." And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And she said, "Russell, I took Brooke to the cancer center in Los Angeles, and they had to do the test repeatedly. The doctor even said it was an act of God. She doesn't have a tumor anymore." Whoa. Can I tell you something? My faith went to a whole nother level. A whole nother level. I was telling God, "You want me to pray for that person? You want me to pray for that person? Hey, you need prayer?" Man, when God answers prayers like that, I know it was him. It wasn't me. Like Pastor Ron always says, I was just the donkey that God used at that moment to come in. But you know what? God healed her, and she got to go to Make-A-Wish Foundation and see Hannah Montana when Hannah Montana was good. And her whole family, they went to Disney World, and they got to spend time with her. And 1 year went by almost to the exact date, and the cancer came back. And it was very aggressive. And I remember she said, "Russell, please pray for my daughter. Last time God answered your prayer," I said, "I'm going to pray with the same faith I prayed last time." So me and Pastor Doug and a lot of leaders at the church, we had a prayer vigil from 8 p.m. till 8 a.m. in the morning. For 12 hours, we prayed for this little girl. And we prayed that God would heal her. And God did, but he did it in a different way, and he took her home. And I'm going to tell you, it hurt me so bad because I felt like I gave this woman false hope. Because I told her, John 11:4, that this sickness would not end in death, but be for the glory of the Son of God. And so I go to church, and Pastor Jim Cruz was our pastor at the time. And I'm sitting in the back like this. I won't worship. I don't want to talk to anybody. And Jim walks up to me and he goes, "Bro, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Jim, I don't hear from God, man. I thought I heard from God. I told this woman that God was going to heal her baby. And how could this be for God's glory?" He goes, "Russell, it was. And you don't even know this because you weren't there that day." I said, "What?" He said, "First of all, God extended this little girl's life a whole year to a family that didn't even know who Jesus was. And because he healed her for that 1 year, that whole family came to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior." He said, "Russell, you weren't there that day when the whole family got baptized together." He said, "Russ, it was for God's glory." See, let me tell you something. It was through the prayers of a mother's tears that God heard, got his attention. Mamas, your prayers are powerful. Daddies, yours are too. But I'm saying something about mamas, when they pray, it's like the Lord says, yes, I hear. But can I tell you something? God doesn't have grandkids. We're all his kids. When we cry out to him, our Father hears our cry, you guys. He does. And that's how he takes your pain and he turns it into praise. See, I don't understand why God does things sometimes and doesn't other times. But it's through the process that we got to trust him. Amen? There's another person in the Bible. His name was Bartimaeus. He was a blind man. And we're going to pick up the story of Mark 10, verse 47. It says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more." Underline that in your Bible or if you're taking notes. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you. Go." Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus. Here's the thing. When Bartimaeus saw Jesus coming, he was told to shut up, be quiet, don't bother the rabbi. He didn't just go, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I believe he went, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me." And it said it caught Jesus' attention. Why? He was crying out in faith. See, some of you, God is saying, your miracle is right in front of you, but you got to cry out for it. Don't let your miracle pass you by because people are telling you to shut up. You cry out even louder. And he says he healed him. You know, another person that wouldn't take no for an answer was the woman with the issue of blood in Luke chapter 8. She said, "If I could just touch him, I'll be healed. I just got to touch him." And so she goes through the crowd, and you know the story. Jesus goes, "Who just touched me?" The apostles go, "What do you mean? Everybody's been..." "No, no, no. Whoever just touched me, I felt great power leave me." And then the woman said, "Lord, I touched your cloak and I was healed." He said, "Woman, your faith healed you." You know, some scholars believe that Jesus wore those tallits, those tassels that rabbis would wear, and they represented the wings of the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? It was the presence of God. When she touched the tallit, she was touching the presence of God. Another thing to point out is that when something is unclean, because she was unclean, as soon as she touched Jesus, she was clean. As soon as she touched Jesus, she was clean. See, the thing to point out in all these people's circumstances is that Hezekiah cried out with tears, just like Brooke's mom, and the disciples cried out in desperation, and Bartimaeus cried out in faith, and the woman with the issue of blood, she reached out in faith. See, it's one thing to ask in faith, but you got to also sometimes receive it in faith. Amen? Now we're going to hear another story of Paul and Silas. They're in prison because they come into contact with a woman who has a spirit of divination. She can fortune tell, and it's demonic power. And she's following them around, and she's saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God." And she keeps mocking them, and I think Paul just got tired of it. And he said, "Get out of her." And that woman lost the power because that spirit had to leave her. And she was a slave, and her slave owner couldn't make money off of her. So he had Paul and Silas thrown into jail and beat. We're going to pick up the story after they're thrown in jail in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. About the midnight hour, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. People are always listening, church. They're listening to your circumstances. And it says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." I think that was pretty nice of Paul, don't you? He could have just took off, but he knew what was going to happen to that guard. Do you know, because of what Paul did, not only did that guard come to find salvation in Jesus Christ, but his whole family did. Why? Well, I want to point out what they did in the circumstance. The first thing they did, they were in the darkest hour, it says. The midnight hour is the darkest hour. Some of you are in that hour right now. You're in a dark hour. You're like, man, this is dark. But can I tell you something? Paul and Silas didn't just sit in that dark place and do nothing and say, "God, why is it so dark?" It says that they prayed and they praised and they worshiped. Can I tell you something? When you're going through hell, when you start to praise and worship God, God will bring heaven to it. I'm telling you, your worship brings heaven to earth. Your praise brings heaven to, you know, praise is a weapon, you guys. It's a weapon. You can look in 2 Chronicles 20:20, where King Jehoshaphat puts the worshipers in the front of the army, and the prophet says, "Hey, you won't even have to pull out your sword. Just worship me. I'll give you the victory." Some of you just need to be worship warriors and start singing your songs right now. Amen? The other thing is when they were praising the Lord and worshiping him, like I said, other people were listening. The doors came open and everybody was set free, not just Paul and Silas. You know, Pastor Ron has always said this, and I believe it, that when all else fails, use words to tell people who Jesus is. Let your life show people who Jesus is to you. Amen? See, the one thing that they all had in common when they cried out into their circumstances is they were crying out to God. Some of them were with tears. Some of them were with praise and prayers, but they were all crying out to God. You know, the scripture says that King David cried out to God. It says that King David lamented and he cried out to God a lot. You know, if I could be anybody in the Bible, I'd want to be King David. I liked him. You know why? Come on, guys. He could scrap, man. He could fight. But you know what? He was also sensitive, and he could hear God, and he could cry out to God with a soft heart. Look what David laments in Psalms 13, verse 1. "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, O Lord. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say I have overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall." See, when you lament, it's a form of prayer that expresses sorrow and grief, but it also expresses faith. Look what David does. This is his faith. Say, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has done good to me." Come on. See, David was real. He said it like it was, but in the end, he always said, "But God, here's who you are. This is my circumstances, but this is who you are." Those questions that he asked, he was being honest. And this leads me to my first point this morning. When you're crying out to God, you have to be honest. You have to be honest with God. See, David has enemies coming after him. He's discouraged. Like sometimes, you know, when God puts a calling on your life, it seems discouraging sometimes because it seems like the opposite is happening. Like, God, why are you letting this happen? But look at what David learned through it. Psalms 34, 17, he says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from what, church? All their troubles, not some." And it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all." Some of you here today, and even online, some of you are broken and some of you are crushed. And the Lord says, "I'm here to heal you and to deliver you from those things today." God wants to do that. Amen? Like, reiterating what David said in Psalms 13:5, he says, "But I will trust in your unfailing love." You know, that word unfailing love means loyal love. You know, God's love will always be loyal to you. God's love will never lie to you. God's love will always be faithful to you, and he will never take advantage of you. I think in our relationship with him, he is the only one that is faithful all the time. Amen? If there was one word that I could describe God with, is faithful. Faithful. He has always been faithful, even when I wasn't faithful. And why can we trust God? Because of that faithfulness. Now, when we lament from personal pain that comes from the depths of our souls. I don't know if you know this, but 50% of the book of Psalms is all about lamenting and crying out to God. And like David, God wants us to be transparent with him when we cry out to him. To lament and to cry out teaches us that there are just some things that we are never going to understand, but we know that God is going to love us through the process, right? Now, there's things that I don't understand even today. Maybe it's going to take eternity for me to understand. You know, back in 2019, I lost my mom, and then it was like the next year I lost my father-in-law, and then the next year I lost my father. And I was just like, man, it was like right after I get done grieving, I had to grieve over again. Get done grieving, had to grieve over again. And I was honest with God. I said, man, this hurts. This really, really hurts. And you know what the Lord showed me? Here's his promise, his faithfulness. Revelation 21:4, he says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. When my mom was on her way to meet Jesus, I asked her, are you afraid, Mom? She goes, I'm not, honey. I said, why aren't you afraid, Mom? She says, because I get to go see Jesus, son. And she goes, and I will see you again. I'm going to make a place for you up there. Can I tell you something? When a believer leaves this earth, church, it doesn't stop you from hurting. But can I tell you, it's not goodbye. It's just until you meet again. You will meet again. And that's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? I love how Moses said it in Deuteronomy 29:29. He said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of the Lord. What he's saying is, not all the time are we going to understand the secret things, meaning the timing or why God does this or doesn't do that. But what he has revealed to us is his word and his promises and their yes and amen, church. And we are supposed to be good stewards with that as we pass that down to the next generation. Amen? And sometimes we're like Job. Why, Lord? Why? And that's okay. I've asked the Lord that. But like he told Job, where were you when I created everything? You're asking me to explain things that you can't even comprehend. Even if I explained creation, you couldn't comprehend it. That's why I gave you faith, so you can trust me through the process and you understand that my character is, I'm loyal to you. My love is loyal, amen? So when we're crying out to God, we're saying, I trust you in the process. This leads me to my second point this morning. When you're crying out to God, it's not a lack of faith, but it's an act of faith. When you cry out to God, that doesn't mean you don't have faith. I think it's easier for women to cry out to God than men because we think we're being weak when we cry out. But can I tell you something? I'm telling you, that's when God hears your prayers. That's that liquid prayer, like I told you. He hears it. You know, to share your heart with God is an act that will actually draw him closer to you. I'm going to tell you a true story about a trip I went out to San Francisco. Anybody ever been to San Francisco here? Shoo, Mark Twain wasn't kidding when he said the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco, man. I went out there on a missions trip in the early 2000s, and I asked the people out there, well, how do we dress? Because, you know, it's 120 degrees in Vegas. Oh, we're having a heat wave, too. I brought flip-flops, tank tops, shorts. I get out there, I go, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I had to buy brand new clothes. And I remember we went to Haight-Ashbury Park, and we brought food, and I was the fruit roll-up guy and the Capri Sun guy. So I got all this stuff, and this guy looked like Brad Pitt. He had long hair, no shirt, no shoes. He walks up, he goes, what you got there, bro? I said, hey, man, you hungry, bro? We got fruit roll-ups, Capri Suns, we got chili cheese fries. He goes, right on. So I give him one, and I said, so what's going on, man? He goes, dude, I like your vibes, bro. I said, you like my vibes? He goes, yeah, bro, I dig you, man. And I'm like, nah, it's Jesus. He goes, dude, I don't care, bro. I like it, dude. I like it. And we got to minister to so many people. You know, that's what your pastor Al Martinez does here when he goes out and he's loving all these people. He's showing people what Jesus looks like. And that's what we were trying to do, is we didn't want to preach to them. We wanted to show them, hey, Jesus can't, we can't meet all your needs. Jesus can't, but we can meet a need. We got to pray for people. And then the last night, amen, amen. The last night that we were there, we were in a park and there was this woman and it was cold and she had no legs. She's in a wheelchair. And the leader, we were chaperoning these ladies, these little girls, like 14, 15, from Mississippi and Tennessee, and they were learning street ministry. So we're there, and Mark, the leader, walks up to this lady and says, hey, ma'am, is there anything we can do for you? And she goes, oh, I've been sitting in this chair for 3 days, and I just like to lay down. I'm so tired. And he goes, well, can I help you? She goes, son, you don't understand. I've gone to the bathroom. I've sat in my chair for 3 days. And he goes, oh, that's okay. I want to still help you. And I'm staring at him like, wow, like this, is this guy Jesus? And he goes to his car and he gets like 2 wool blankets and he lays them down. And he goes, what's your name? She goes, my name's Mary. He goes, Mary, I'm going to help you lay down, okay? And he picked her up out of the wheelchair. He had soil coming down his arm. He didn't miss a beat. He's smiling at her. He comes over and he lays her down. He covers her up. He goes, Mary, I'll be right back. He goes to his car. He grabs a rose. And he says, Mary, this is how your heavenly Father sees you. You're so beautiful, and he loves you so much. And he gives her the rose, and she goes, thank you. And all of a sudden, he goes, you know, tomorrow we're going to come back, and we're going to get you some help, okay? And she goes, okay. So we go back the next day. Her wheelchair's there. Her blankets are there, but she's not there. And I'm like, was she an angel? Was this a test? I go, because Mark, if this was a test, bro, you passed the test, man. And this older man came up and he goes, were you the people that helped Mary last night? I said, yeah, where is she? We came to take her to get some help. And he goes, she passed away last night. And he said, I want to thank you. Because she was afraid to die. She was dying. And she said, if God really loves me, he will send somebody to tell me how much he loves me. And she wasn't afraid to go meet the person that loved her. See, church, what I'm trying to say is when people are crying out to God, he's going to use you to answer the prayers. Every single one of you is an agent of hope that God wants to use to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody, the words that somebody needs to hear. This leads me to my third point. Like Mary, we have to acknowledge that your pain to God and ask him to help you. You have to acknowledge God in your pain so he can help you. Look what David said in 2 Samuel 22, verse 7. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I cried out to my God for help, and he heard me from his sanctuary, and my cry reached his ears. Can I tell you something? The Lord hears your cry in this sanctuary today. Every tear that you've cried, every pain that you felt, he knows it's in your heart and he hears what you're saying. See, many of you here today have lost somebody, a loved one, and you're grieving and you're in pain. I know how you feel. Some of you have maybe lost a job and you're like, Lord, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I'm scared. Some of you may have been diagnosed with some kind of health issue and you're scared or some of you maybe have expectations that weren't met by someone else, or maybe they weren't even met by God, and you're wounded. And you have these deep wounds in your heart, and because of it, you're just like, Lord, I just don't understand. I don't understand why I'm feeling this pain. Can I tell you, if anybody knows what pain and rejection and hopelessness feels like, it's Jesus. You know, in Hebrews 4:15, it says that he empathizes in our weaknesses and in our struggles because he has been tempted and he has underwent things that we will never have to undergo. He's experienced things that we will never have to experience. And you know, because of that, verse 16 says that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Why? Because God's love is loyal to you. It will always be loyal to you. When you come up to him, he says, you're going to find mercy and you're going to find help. Amen? What I'm saying is God wants you to get healed today. Whatever those wounds are. You know, Jesus cried out to his Father and he asked the why question. The Son of God asked the why question. In Matthew 27, 46, it says, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I wonder how Jesus felt when he was on that cross, been beaten, scourged, meaning his whole back was probably had no skin, spit upon, humiliated, and they're taking him to crucify him. There's a song written from an artist called Nicole Nordeman back in 2005. It's a song called Why, and it's about that very thing where Jesus is asking his Father why. But it's also a little girl asking her Father, why are they treating him that way, Father? Why are they beating him? Why are they doing what they're doing to him? And she says that this song dives deep into the human experience of questioning life's hardships and tragedies. She said this song explores the universal themes of pain, doubt, and ultimately finding hope in the midst of uncertainty and pain. The lyrics that I'm going to read to you in this song is after Jesus has passed her by, as the little girl's watching Jesus getting ready to be crucified. And it said, so I followed the crowds to a hill where I knew men had been killed, and I heard a voice come from the cross. And it said, Father, why are they screaming? Why are the faces of some of them beaming? Why are they casting lots for my robe? This crown of thorns hurts me more than it shows. Father, please, can't you do something? I know that you must hear my cry. I thought I could handle the cross of this size. Father, please remind me why. Why does everyone want me to die? Oh, Lord, when will I understand why? And then his father says, my precious son, I hear them screaming. I'm watching the face of the enemy beaming. But soon I will clothe you in robes of my own. Jesus, this hurts me much more than you know. But this dark hour, I can do nothing, though I've heard your unbearable cry. The power in your blood destroys all of their lies. Soon you will see past their unmerciful eyes. Look there below, see the child trembling by her father's side. Now I can tell you why. She is why you must die. See, Jesus had the why question and he didn't understand it till he was going through it. He didn't know why. He did, but in the midst of his pain, he forgot why he was doing it. Sometimes that's what happens to us. I'm going to call the worship team out at this time. See, if you don't come to God with your whys and your pain and your disappointment, your heart is going to become hard and you'll never get healed. And you're going to be a wounded soldier. You're going to be a wounded Christian. And you know, the devil doesn't care if you go to heaven. He doesn't want you to have any influence over anybody else. He just wants you to be a wounded Christian that's going to go to heaven. But God wants to heal you today. Look what it says in Hosea 10:12. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time, Valley Bible Fellowship, to seek the Lord, that he may come and showers of righteousness upon you. But in order to do that, amen, he's got to break up the hard ground in your heart. Can I tell you something? God is bringing tears back into the church. That's why you're crying right now. Because God's softening your heart. He's saying, I want to till up that hard ground in you because I want to bring healing. I want to bring restoration into your life. I want people to see you and go, I want to know your God. I know where you've been. I know what you've been through. But how did you get everything that you have in your life? It's because you cried out to God and he drew near to you. See, God wants to plow up those things in your heart so those new things can come. I'm going to end with this. In 2015, right when I first came on staff, I had a crazy dream. And my wife knows I don't remember my dreams. So when I do remember my dreams, I know it's the Lord. And I shared this with Pastor Jim Cruz. And he said, He said, bro, that is a corporate word. You need to share that with the congregation. So I'm going to share that with you right now. And in my dream, I saw people sitting exactly where you're sitting in a setting just like this. And some of you, not all of you, but some of you had arrows in you and you look like porcupines and you're walking around like this. And when people would try to come and love on you or get close to you out of self-preservation, you'd push them away. Like, stay away from me. I don't want to get hurt. They're afraid those arrows would get pushed in more. And I said, Lord, so what do we do? And he said, Russell, you can't pull out those arrows. I said, why? He said, because you'll kill them. I said, then what are we going to do? He goes, they have to come up to me and they have to let go of the arrows and then I can pull them out. It's a word for you right now. Somebody, you're holding on to these arrows of the past, arrows of pain, arrows of rejection. And God's saying, today I want to pull those arrows out of you. I want to get those out of you so that you can walk in the destiny. See, the enemy, what he said he was going to do, he said the enemy was going to attack the church with the three D's. He said distraction, discouragement, and doubt. In John 10:10, it says that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? It's his job. See, he said through distractions, he'll steal their time. Through discouragement, he'll kill their hope. And through doubt and disbelief, he'll destroy their faith. But the Lord says, but I've given the church three counterweapons. And that's faith, that's hope, and that's love. And the greatest of the weapons he's given you is love. Because his love is loyal and his love is faithful. But you know what the point is? Is you gotta allow God to heal that part of your heart. I wanna give somebody the opportunity right now. You know, you might know Jesus. You might have accepted Jesus, but you've been walking around wounded. And you don't know how to like be that whole person that you desire to be. And I want to give you the opportunity today to receive the greatest healer, to receive the greatest love, to receive the greatest gift. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying for. If you could just raise your hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Come on, church. Come on, give God some glory. I see hands all up and, oh, come on. I see your hands. I see your hands. Church, we're going to pray right now. Repeat after me. Say, Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I ask him to come into my heart and live inside of me. Make my heart soft and give me the power of your Holy Spirit to live the life you've called me to live. I now receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I'm going to give the campus pastors, you guys pray for your congregation. Thank you for having me today. But before I go, first of all, thank you for letting me be here. It's an honor to be here with you. But I'm going to, amen. I'm going to have the pastors and the prayer team, if you guys can please come up. Pastors and prayer team, please come up. Okay, I'm going to ask you to all do something brave. You know who you are with the arrows in your heart, whatever it is. If you want to get set free today, don't let your pride or your fear hold you back from getting set free. We've been praying all week that God's going to set a lot of people free. So I'm going to be down here to pray with them. If you need prayer, you just got to surrender so God can take these arrows out. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is